announcement? Did I cover everything? Did I miss anything this morning? Okay. Book of Galatians chapter 3 is where we're going to be at this morning. This message required a lot of time, and I do want it to fit good, and I want the Lord to bless it, because that's the only way it's going to be blessed. You know, sometimes you prepare and get things ready, and you want it to be just right, but it takes the Holy Spirit to use a message. And I pray that you use this message today. Just two verses. We'll focus on two verses. Let me read the verses for you. Now listen to the verse. For ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Everybody hear that one? For ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Number two, verse 27. For as many as of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So we're going to do the combination of both these verses together. Because what usually happens? Some will grab verse 26 and they'll preach it. Others will grab verse 27 and they'll just preach it. And those verses go together. So we're going to entitle this message today, Faith and Baptism. So you want to mark that down in your notes, you can do that. Faith and Baptism. Now, I didn't say faith versus baptism. Sometimes you'll see that. No, faith and baptism. Verse 26 deals with faith. Verse 27 deals with baptism. Hence the term faith and baptism. And that's what the message is going to be on today. So you need to give it a real good lesson. Now, let's focus on verse 26. I hope this ain't real long. It probably won't be. But if it's short, do we really care about that? We just want it to be powerful. And I want you to see what the text says. See, what a preacher is supposed to do, I'll be honest with you. Preacher's not to be an entertainer. Now, that's what they're looking for in 2007. I'm not an entertainer. But a preacher is to be a Bible teacher. You ever heard the term where someone said, well, you know, he ain't a very good preacher, but he's a good teacher. Well, a preacher is to be a teacher. That's what a preacher is, a pastor, teacher. He is to, he's not giving you any new revelations. He's supposed to explain to you what passages of Scriptures mean. And then you take those and you check that out to see whether it's so. And then you apply those truths to your life. That's what a preacher is supposed to do. So that's what I'm going to try to do this morning. I try to do that every week. Try to have you a message that I feel the Lord wants you to hear. And it's my prayer that the Lord would use the message to touch hearts with it. All right, faith and baptism. So let's go ahead and look at verse 26 again. It says, for ye are all the children of God. How is that? By faith in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to give you 3 points under that. We're going to look at 3 points under that. You write these down. We're going to look at the means. We're going to look at the object. We're going to look at the means, we're going to look at the object and the benefits. And we'll show you 3 things with regard to that text. Okay? Now, how does one become a child of God? That's my question to you. And, of course, to answer a question biblically, you need to look at the Bible. How does one become a child of God? Well, you look down at the text. Let's look at the means by which you become a child of God. If you come in here this morning and you're seeking, and maybe the Lord, maybe you're here this morning just because I believe in the sovereignty of God. And I believe if you're here this morning, it's because God wanted you here this morning. And this is exactly the message that the Lord wants you to hear. And the question is, how do you become a child of God? Well, what does it say? Well, let's look at the means by which you become a child of God in the text. What does it say? It says, for ye are all the children of God. How is it? By faith. Everybody see, by faith? Well, that's how you become a child of God, through the means of faith. Now, faith is one of the main arguments of the book of Galatians. As you know, I'm teaching through the book of Galatians in our radio broadcast. But faith is emphasized in the book of Galatians, that you're justified by faith. Now, I want you to see that. Turn to the book of Galatians 2 and verse 16. I'll just keep you right here. And I want to show you what it says by faith. Does everybody know what it means to be justified? Does everybody in the house know what it means to be justified? Do I need to tell you? Well, I will anyway. The word justified means to be declared righteous. It's the greatest thing in the world for a sinner. It's the act in which God of heaven looks upon you and declares you righteous. That's what it means. When you're saved, you're justified. And when I say that you're justified by faith, that means that you are declared righteous by faith. It's the means. It's the means by which you become a child of God, but it's also the means. It's also the means by which God justifies you. And that's very important to be justified, because if you're not justified, then you'll die in your sin. And that's the worst thing that could ever happen to anybody. All right, now I'm going to show you the emphasis on faith in the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 16. Now listen to this. Knowing that a man is not justified. What's justified mean? Declared righteous. You're not declared righteous by the works of the law. Now when it's talking about the works of the law, you see up here behind me the Ten Commandments? You can't be declared righteous by that. Ten Commandments can't save you. It was never intended to save you. And the reason why they can't save you is you can't keep them good enough. If you offend these commandments in one point, the Bible says you're guilty of all. It's like a 10-link chain. You know, if I was holding them speakers up and I had a 10-link chain, if I broke any link of that chain, what would happen to that speaker? It would fall. Well, the Ten Commandments, we have all broken those, so we can't be justified by them. As a matter of fact, the commandments are designed to reveal to you that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. They're like a thermometer. You get a fever and they put a thermometer, so to speak, in your mouth and I got a temperature of 104. You see, the thermometer indicates that I got a problem. But I don't eat the thermometer to make myself better, do I? It's just an indicator that the commandments is an indicator. They're designed to reveal to you that you're a sinner so that you will see your need for a what? A Savior. They're designed to bring you to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. That's what the commandments are for. So you're not, Galatians 2:16, you're not justified by the law, by the works of the law, but by, let me go ahead and read it. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith, there, back to faith, by faith in Jesus Christ, by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. Word believe, same thing as faith, trusting. Okay? And we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. By the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. Only through the means of faith are you justified. Only through the means of faith do you become a child of God. Everybody see that so far? Just showing you what it says. Now what you do is you take and check it out and make sure I'm right. Behooves you to do that. Well, let's go back to Galatians 3 and let's look a little bit more here at faith, this means of faith. Show a little bit more. Can I tell you something this morning? Man has always been saved by faith. Man has always been saved by faith. All the way back to the very beginning. All the way back to Abel, I taught a Sunday school class. I'm going to preach that message over here sometime. On Abel. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, it says. You know what he offered? He offered the shed blood of the lamb. He also brought a grain offering along with that too, which was a picture of the death and resurrection of Christ. What's the death and resurrection of Christ picture? What's that called? It's called the gospel. Faith in that message is what saves your soul. Book of Hebrews 11 says, Abel being dead still speaks. What's he say? You're accepted with God by faith in the gospel. Amen. You know how Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, was saved? He was saved by faith. That's right. Look at Galatians chapter 3. I'll show you that. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, it says, Abraham believed God, faith in God's word. And it was imputed to him for righteousness. Know ye not therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? And the Scripture foreseeth that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Abraham was saved by faith. Does anybody know how Noah was saved? He was saved by faith. By faith Noah constructed the ark, Hebrews chapter 11. Do you know how King David was saved? Saved by faith. It's been faith all the way back to the beginning down to the day. It's always been that way. That's the means. Listen, that's the means by which you become a child of God. You need to know that right off the bat this morning. That's the means by which you come. Now, the means of becoming a child of God is by faith. Now, what's the object? What's the object? Well, let's look back. You're still in Galatians 3. Let's look back at the object. faith always has an object. Faith always has an object. Okay? For instance, if you're having a surgery done and you say, I have faith in my doctor, what's the object? The doctor. See? Can I ask something else? If you have faith, if faith always has an object, and if your faith is in your doctor, who does the work there? The doctor does. You see, the reason why salvation is by faith is so that it would be by grace, because faith is not a work. Faith is always in an object, and the object does the work. If you went back 30 years ago when I played football, and you could have said this if you'd like, and I was running down the field, and you say, I have faith that Jeff can catch that football. Yeah. That was pretty much a sure thing, though. I want you to. But yeah, I have faith that he can. I have faith that he can do that. Now, who's the object of your faith? I am. I would be. Now, who's catching the football? It's always the object is the one that does the work. Has everybody got that this morning? Well, when I say that I have faith, what's to say you're to have faith then? The means, what's the object of your saving faith? You are all the children of God. What's the means? Faith. What's the object in verse 26? Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, listen now. I want you to get this. Christ Jesus must be the object of your faith. He must be the object of your faith. Every child of God, you become a child of God, the means is by faith, the object of your faith has to be Jesus Christ. It can't be Muhammad, it can't be any other, it can't be Buddha, it can't be you. It can't be you. If the object of you being a child of God is all the good things that you'll do, you've done, you won't make it. Hear this from Miss Pastor. You won't make it. Because you're not good enough and you never be. You might do good things. But think of just for a little bit. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember what he prayed there? Three times he made this request. Father, the night before Calvary, the night before he died on the cross, Father, if this can pass from me, let it pass. You see, folks, he made that request three times, and then he said, never, not my will, but your will be done. If there was any way an old sinner like Jeff Arthur could be saved and become his child and be justified other than by the humiliating public sacrificial death of his son, God would have took him home right there and said, hey, Jeff can do the best he can, and he can get heaven that way. Jesus had to go to a cross. Does anybody in the house know why? Because he had to pay our sin debt on Calvary. The object of faith must be Christ. And it must be all Christ. You become a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Isn't that what it says? The means is faith, but the object has to be Jesus. And if you're saved, you know, if you would ask me this morning, Jeff, are you saved? Obviously, I'd say, yes, I am. And I ask people that all the time. Are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. And then you know what else I ask them? And I'm going to ask you that today. Why do you say you're saved? Well, if you're a child of God, you know what the next word I'm going to hear out of your mouth is? I'm going to hear about Jesus. See, he's the object of your faith. He's the object of it. If I ask you, are you saved, and you say yes, and you say, well, now I went to church for 30 years, that's the wrong object. Or if you say, I've done the best I can all these years, and I can sing and sung for the Lord all these years, that's the wrong object. The object must be Jesus Christ. And that alone has to be the object of your faith. So, the means is faith, but the object is Jesus Christ. And you know why that's so important for you to see? You know, Jesus himself taught us that. Remember what he said in John 14, verse 6? He said what? I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. No man goes to the Father but by me. Acts 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name written above men, under heaven, whereby they must be saved or can be saved. Object has to be Jesus. I'm going to heaven today. You know what? Here's what I'm most thankful for. I'm going to heaven and I know it. I know I'm saved. That's a blessing. You agree? I know if I die tomorrow where I'm going, I know if Jesus will come, I know where I'm going. I'm a child of God. And folks, why am I going? What's the object? Jesus. That's all I'm going to tell you. The object of my faith is Jesus Christ. It must be your object too. The means is faith. The object is Jesus. What He did by dying and rising again. What's the benefits of being? What's the benefits then of this faith that has Jesus as the object? What's the benefits? Well, what's it say in verse 26? Children of God. Children of God. That's the benefit of faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ, you become a child of God. Now, I'm not going to talk all morning on the benefits. I could talk all morning, all through the afternoon, and into the night on the benefits and not exhaust them. Just going to mention a few of them that I'm thankful for. You know one of the benefits of being a child of God, why you should want to be a child of God, one of the benefits of being a child of God is you have a home in the Father's house. Jesus in John 14 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions," many dwelling places. Are many dwelling places. Let me say it one more time. Are many dwelling places. He didn't have to go build them when He ascended. They are there. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would not have told you. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." You know when He said, "I'll go to prepare a place for you," what He's talking about, don't you? Yeah, you see, He made that statement in the upper room the night before He died. There was plenty of room in heaven, but an old sinner like Jeff Arthur couldn't go there the way he was. There had to be something done about his sin problem. And you know what Jesus did the very next day? He went to the cross of Calvary and He prepared my place by paying my sin debt. And now today, because I'm a child of God, I got a home in the Father's house. Now listen to me now. Brother Raines, that's my home. Man, I'm just passing through here anyway. The Bible says that we are pilgrims and strangers here on earth. Pilgrim is someone that's going somewhere. A stranger is someone that's from another country. Philippians 3 says that our citizenship is above. That's my home. That's my home. That's where my Savior, listen, that's where my citizenship's at. My Savior's there. My city's there. My King's there. And I got a home there. And that's the benefit of being a son. When you come to the end of your days, the most important thing in this world is having a home in the Father's house. This life is a vain thing without the expectation at the end of it going to heaven. Man, people wear me out with this stuff. Buddy, I want to get this, that, and the other, and I want to get this good job, which is great. It's good to get a good job so that you can support your family and all. But then I want to do this job for a while, and then later on I want to be able to retire and sit back and just enjoy life, and they'll dedicate their whole life to that purpose. I've never been able to answer the then what. I'm going to ask you, then what? Then what, Bill? When you come to the end of it all, it's all vanity and empty. I've done a lot of funeral services this year. Lots of funeral services this year. And we'll tell you something. When you're standing over someone's casket and you're addressing their family, let me tell you all that matters. That cuts all the junk out and comes right down to the bottom line. Let me tell you all that matters when that day comes. All that matters is where they had a home in the Father's house. That's all that matters. Don't matter how much money they made. Because that's not determines where they're at that particular time. Car they drove, or all these different kinds of things that people lived their whole life for. People sell their souls for a bowl of soup. I'm talking about eternity. Everybody in the house this morning is going to be spend an eternity somewhere. And you want to spend your eternity in the Father's house. And that's one of the benefits of being a child of God. I'm not real good on aging. But I'm aging. I ain't quite as fast as I once was. I'm just a tad bit off. Or as strong as I once was. Can't see like I used to be able to see. What's the matter with me? I'm aging. Oh, when I hit 40, I thought that was horrible. I don't know why 40 hit me so hard. The only thing that helped me when I hit 40 was my Aunt Linda. And she came and she said, Jeff, that was some of the best years of my life. And that boosted me somewhat. Brother Rain's aging would be a horrible thing because, listen, without a home in the Father's house, each tick of that clock is bringing you closer to your time and losing everything that you got. Me, each tick of that clock brings me closer to my heavenly home. Oh, God's people say, you can have it. You can have the world and all that's in it. Because when that death day comes, that's all that matters. All right, that's enough for the benefits. Let's move on to the next one. Got it? I want you to get it. How do you become a child of God? The means is faith. The object has to be Jesus Christ. And the benefit is you become a child of God. You see all three of those things in verse 26. All right, now let's look at baptism. Let's look at baptism. Where does baptism fit in this situation? Well, this goes together. It goes with verse 26. All right, let's reread verse 27 and let's get into this text. It says, you are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, let me tell you what this verse does. And we make a lot of mistakes as preachers. A lot of mistakes because what we do in a lot of verses of Scripture is we lose what they're trying to say. We'll go to texts like this and show and jump and preach for an hour on how baptism's not what saves you and lose what the verse is trying to say. That's what we do. We do it with a lot of text. This verse is designed to teach us something. You know what's designed to teach you? It's designed to teach the importance of baptism. That's what it's designed to show you, the importance of baptism. And you're going to see the importance of baptism after faith in this message today. Because they go together. Okay? Now, verse 27, let's go ahead and begin to dwell in it. Now, first thing, I'm going to show you the order under this one. I want you to see the order. And then I want to show you the reasons. The order and the reasons for baptism. The order and the reasons. Are you ready? You write that down. You have a good little outline there. And you'll be able to think through the message if you write those things down. Now, notice the order. You have faith in verse 26, and then what do you have in verse 27? Baptism. Folks, that's always the order in the New Testament. Anywhere you want to look at it, that's the order. Faith always precedes baptism. Always. John chapter 4, I'll quote some of these for you. John chapter 4, verse 2 says Jesus made, let me say that one more time, Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. That's John the Baptist. Disciples are first made, and then they're what? Baptized. That's always the order. Matthew chapter 28, we talk about the Great Commission, says, go you therefore and preach to all nations. The idea of that is to make disciples of all nations. You know how you make disciples? You preach to them Jesus. Just like I did in the first 30 minutes here, you preaching to them Jesus, and when they by faith trust Jesus, they become a disciple. So, you make disciples first by preaching the gospel. What comes after it? Yeah, baptize them then. See, faith then, baptize, then teach them. Faith, baptize, then teach them. That's a commission. Does everybody in the house know that? Matthew 28, 18 through 20. That's the job of a church. Church is not an entertainment place. Did you realize that? Oh, go to that church. They got the best basketball program I ever saw. You can have that stuff. That's not what a church is supposed to do. A church is supposed to spread the gospel, administer the ordinances, and teach God's people God's word. And then they'll grow. And the Holy Spirit will bless it. I want to go to a place where I'm taught something and where I understand what the guy says. That's what I want. If I ever leave here, that's exactly what I'll look for. You ever hear how people pick churches? It's horrible. You pick them based on, do they teach the truth? Do they stand for the truth? Am I learning there? Am I growing there as a Christian? See? All right. Faith, then baptism. Everybody see it? Let me give you a couple more examples. I've turned to Acts 8. Just keep your eye on. We'll show you one more example. I'm going to keep rolling. Try to get you out a little bit early. Maybe a minute. Every bit of a minute. Acts chapter 8. I have to find this. All right. What's the order? Faith, then baptism. That's always the order. I could show you a lot of text that shows you that. Faith and baptism. Without faith in Christ, you can't have a baptism. Someone comes for baptism, what's my first question? Well, are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. Then what I ask them? Why do you say that? Then what am I listening for? What's the object of that faith? I want to hear about Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ, then baptism. Acts 8, let's watch and see if that's what it was here. Philip's preaching to an Ethiopian man that God had sent him out into the desert to preach to. It says, then Philip opened his mouth, Acts 8:35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. There you go. This man was searching for salvation. He sent this missionary to him by the name of Philip. And what's the first thing Philip did? He preached unto him. If this man's going to be saved, he had to have the right object. He had to have faith, but he had to hear about the object where that faith had to be at. All right, verse 36, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. Now watch this. What's to stop me from being baptized? Can you see him just riding on that chariot, you know? Here's that old preacher preaching to him. Just one guy. Just one person. That's how in person that one person is to the Lord. He's preaching to him, Jesus. He said, here's water. What's to stop me from being baptized? Now, look at verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest, then thou mayest. What is that called? Faith. Well, let's notice what happens. Verse 37. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There you have the means, his faith. There you see the object is Jesus Christ. This man trusted Jesus right here. Then what did Philip do? He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, and he baptized him. See it? Everybody see the order? Faith and baptism. That's what you have in Galatians 3, that same order. Number two. Now let's talk about the reasons. Let's talk about the reasons for baptism. And we want to look at the first part of verse 27. It says, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ. Baptized into Christ. What does that mean? What does it mean to be baptized into Christ? Does baptism put you physically in Jesus? Is that what it means? Well, let's see what it means. Baptizing into Christ means the same thing as being baptized unto or into Moses. Yeah, I done confused everybody here, hadn't I? Well, I'm going to explain it to you. It's the same phrase. Did you realize the Scripture talks about in 1 Corinthians 10? I'm going to ask you to turn there. Keep your place here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let me show you this text. Here you have the same phrase used, except it don't say Jesus. It says Moses. It don't say Jesus in 1 Corinthians 10, it says Moses. Baptized unto Moses means the same thing as being baptized unto or into Jesus. Now let's look at this in verse 10. Or 1 and 2, or chapter 10. I'm getting excited. Imagine that. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2 says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. and that all our fathers were under the cloud. Now, that makes sense to you if you're here Wednesday night. The children of Israel was led through the wilderness by a pillar of a cloud, but that cloud also covered them. Kept the heat off of them while they traveled across the desert. They were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. What sea is that? That's the Red Sea, remember? And they were all baptized unto Moses. Now, the word unto is E-I-S in the Greek. I think it's translated, or it's called eis. And that's the same words translated into in Galatians 3:27. So to be baptized unto Moses and to be baptized unto Christ, it's the same. It's the same phrase. What does it mean they were baptized unto Moses? Everybody here knows that they didn't baptize in the Old Testament. Baptism didn't start until John the Baptist. So what does that mean in the text when it says they were baptized? In what way? Well, he mentions two events that was like a baptism in this way. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, what did God do to the Red Sea? He parted that right down the middle, and they went down into, see, watch this, they go down into it, out of sight, went up, and then they did what? They come out the other side. See, that's a picture of baptism. That's what, in a baptism, that's what happened. I take them and I put them down into the water. They go out of sight for a minute for you, and then they come up. So it's like baptism in only in that way. Now, how was the cloud? What about the other event it mentions, the cloud? Well, the cloud covered them. You see, and in the waters of baptism, what does the water... Now, a real baptism, the water covers you. The water covers you. The word baptized means to immerse. Okay? So they were baptized in that way. It wasn't a literal baptism, but it was a picture of one. You see what I'm saying? But it says they were baptized unto Moses. What does that mean? Well, here's what it means. When they come up out of Egypt, by being under that cloud and by following Moses down into that water, listen to me, they were identified as followers of Moses. They were identified with their leader by those two events. If you was looking for the followers of Moses, you know where you'd find them? Under the cloud or going down into the sea. They left the taskmasters of Egypt and the bondage of Egypt, and now they were under a new leader who was Moses. So they were these two events pictured that. Baptized into Moses. And they were identifying themselves through those two events as disciples of Moses, as followers of Moses. Baptism the same way. You become a child of God through faith. But baptism is a public declaration that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's what it is. It's why the Lord gave it. It's not what makes you a disciple. But it publicly identifies you as Moses. Now, did that baptizing into Moses, did that literally put them in Moses? No, it identified them with Moses. Does everybody see it? Baptism is not what makes you a child of God, but it sure, faith is what makes you a child of God. But I tell you what, baptism is the public identification that you've become a disciple. I want to read you something. I thought this was good. Now, I want you to listen. Listen real tight to this, because I think baptism in a lot anymore has just got to be a joke with people. It's got to where it don't mean anything. And for the first 1,800 years of church history, baptism had deep meaning to it. And when you came in baptism, it was a public declaration. You've trusted the Messiah. By faith, you become a child of God. But you publicly identified yourself as one of His disciples through baptism. And to be baptized into Christ means the same thing as being baptized into Moses. You're identifying yourself with your leader. Amen. Jesus Christ. I've left the bondage of sin, the slave market of sin, and now I'm under new leadership. Jesus Christ. Baptism is a public declaration of that. Deep meaning. Listen to this. I read this to Hollis, and he said, make me a copy of that. Baptism in the New Testament, manner of openly professing that we have been crucified with Christ, buried with Him, and have been raised to a new life by His own resurrection power. Unfortunately, we have moved away from the centrality of baptism as a believer's profession of faith and shifted this to an act of walking down a church aisle or raising your hand. Ask the typical Baptist when he professed his faith, he'll describe a trip down the aisle bidding the pastor. But in the early church and through history, we find believers declaring their identification with Christ and His body in the waters of baptism. That's how it was. What you have today is you got people walking aisles expressing faith in Christ, which is fine. But then they omit baptism. And God gave baptism for a purpose. It's not a choice. If you want to, you do it. If you don't, you don't. It's a command. It's one of your first acts of obedience. After that, you're saved. And when you're baptized, it's publicly declaring that you are His disciple. And it's been that way for 2,000 years. It's just today it's lost its significance. You read the book of Acts, I dare you. Read the book of Acts, you'll find that as soon as someone professed faith, you know what they did? They baptized. Acts chapter 2, they that gladly received the word were baptized, and that day was added to them about 3,000 souls. Faith, then baptism. See? And the baptism is a public identification with Christ. Shouldn't be ashamed to do that. So that's how it fits together. That's what it means. Let's turn back to the book of Galatians. Let's start to wind down and wind it up. So it has deep meaning. When I do a baptism, everybody's makeup is different. But I love to see people shed tears when they're baptized. Well, it has deep meaning. They're telling everybody there that I've trusted the Messiah. They're identifying themselves with Him. They're being baptized into Christ in what sense? They're identifying themselves with their leader, just like the children of Israel did with Moses. Means the same thing. Means the same thing. Okay? Let's read on. For as many as you were baptized into Christ, that's what that means, have put on Christ. You put Him on. Now let me illustrate what that means. Some of you have been in the army, I guess, or in the military sometime. Some of you young people have, and some of you older people have. But you know what happens is when you're going to join the military, you'll go somewhere, Beckley or somewhere, and then they swear you in. You know, when they swear you in, you know what happens after that? You're in. You're going. You're in. You're in the military. And it might not look like it because you got your suit on or you got your jeans on, your T-shirt on. You look normal. You still look like the same person you was. But once you swear in and sign the dotted line, so to speak, you know what? You're in. But you know what happens? That old boy or whoever, or girl, goes away and they go to basic training. They get that haircut. Now, back in the 70s, that was a big deal. You get that haircut. And then they come home, and you know what they got when they come home? They got on that uniform. And you look and say, hey, they're a soldier. Well, that's a soldier before they actually went to basic. That's where they got their training. They become a soldier as soon as they swore in. But when they put on their uniform, everybody sees it. Well, that's the way it is in putting on Christ through baptism. You put on Christ, you become a child of God, verse 26, by faith in Messiah Jesus. That's why the thief on the cross went to heaven without baptism. But that wasn't the norm. That's why somebody on a deathbed can be saved without baptism. Because it's faith in Christ that makes you a child of God. But baptism, you swore in the day that you trust Christ. But baptism is like putting on your uniform. Hey, he's a disciple. He's not only professed faith, he's obeying the Lord through baptism. Baptism identifies you with the message you trusted. Have you ever watched a baptism? What's the message of salvation called? Gospel. What is the gospel? Death, burial, resurrection. That's the message that saved my soul. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes it. You ever watch a baptism? Watch what I do to them. I bring them down in the water, and they're letting you know that they're a disciple from that baptism. It's a public declaration. See? It's a public declaration. They're putting on their uniform. And I take them on what? Death, burial, resurrection. They're identifying themselves with the message. Isn't it beautiful? That's why God gave it. That's why God gave it. You know what? In Romans chapter 6, it says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He talked about a people that was using God's grace as a license to sin. You know what he said? God forbid. And then he used baptism as an illustration. You know what you're saying when you're baptized? It's a picture of a commitment. You're dying to your old life and you're walking in newness of life. For someone to profess faith and then be baptized and continue to live in sin, it's a contradict what they said in their baptism. And that's how Paul used it in Romans chapter 6. In baptism, you're saying, I'm not going to live the same way. I'm under a new leadership. And I'm publicly declaring it to everyone that is here. That's what baptism's for. Faith and baptism. Well, Jeff, can you be saved without baptism? Yes. Does that mean baptism is not important? No. God commands it. God commands it. One last thing, we'll close. Should we view baptism as an option? Isn't that how people view it today? Well, if you want to, don't say, here's what I've seen them do. I don't save you. Like it's not important. Jesus walked 60 miles to be baptized by John the Baptist. If your king was baptized, you need to be baptized after that, you're saved. For that reason alone, he walked from here, 60 miles, here to Hawk's Nest to be baptized. And if he did that, setting you the example, then for crying out loud, don't you think you should follow your leader? Acknowledge his leadership through that means. Should we view baptism as an option since it has no power to save? Certainly not. Instead, we should follow obediently in baptism as a God-given means of demonstrating outwardly and visibly our faith in Christ and our union with Him. All God's people said. That's faith and baptism. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. We're going to close this morning with a word of prayer. And I presented the message to you today. So for the rest of your days, you can't say you don't know the way. You know the way. And really, that's all I can do is tell you. I can't make a decision for you. You become a child of God by faith. I'm asking you today by faith to accept the atoning sacrificial death of Christ on Calvary for your sin. And if you've done that, then I'm asking you to obey the Lord through baptism. I'm asking you to do that too. I'm going to ask you to do that. The Bible says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He can save you right there where you're going to be standing. I'm going to ask you to do that. So let's all stand and